All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam. Dan Dunn, the imbiber's going to join us. Paul Sanguinetti is going to join us, a mixologist. We'll try out some of his creations. News as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
People of Earth, it's time for another installment of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month, we got things that will take care of your body, soul, and scrotum. Like a sample pack of Tame the Beast Nut Butter, a blend with Tuck Everlasting anti-aging and anti-chafing ingredients that will keep your sack high and tight. We've also got the great Dano's Seasoning, who will make each and every kind of meat taste even better, whether it's beef, pork, or your fellow man. Dano's is low sodium and no sugar, so even Vinny will approve. We've also got nude mints to not only freshen your breath, but your gut biome too. These incredible products and a bottle of your choice can be found at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25. So prep your mails box. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Stroke.
Ew. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
The imbiber, Dan Dunn, is here to get us all caught up on the booze. Paul Sanguinetti, mixologist, one of America's top mixologists, is mixing it up for us here. What is the theme? Would you say we have a theme going today, Dan?
We do have a theme. I originally was supposed to be in a few weeks ago. I think I got bumped for... I don't know, Adam Ray, mm-hmm. one of those, somebody funnier than
somebody
me.
Talented, yeah.
So I was, back then, the idea was we're going to do the dog days of summer cocktails, hot summer. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to rethink this for September.
You?
But guess what? Mother Nature had other ideas, and it's hotter now than it was 3 weeks ago when I was supposed to be on. So we're sticking with it. Speaking of heat, I should also bring up something. I want to have we can raise a glass. Our old friend Rick McCarthy, who was on recently, Baby Blues Barbecue.
I love him.
Oh, yeah.
We had a great episode, a segment a couple times back with the barbecue. Well, unfortunately, Sunday night, Baby Blues Venice, the original Baby Blues, caught fire.
What?
Yeah. And it was a very... bad fire. Like they're
my God.
Not sure it's going to come back.
Burned
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I got some video. There it is right there. You can see the video.
Was it, were people in the restaurant at the time?
No, it was right afterwards. They're thinking it was an electrical, it's an old building.
Don't say Jewish lightning. Don't say Jewish lightning.
No. And it's in bad shape.
Oh my God.
Yeah, look at that. See, there's the kitchen right there.
Jewish Lightning was one of the slowest NASCAR drivers ever graces a track.
Never crashed.
Never crashed. Always overinsured, but never podium.
Interesting. Wow. Written test.
Interesting connection, too, was, okay, they had scheduled a movie shoot on Tuesday, this week,
mm-hmm.
starring Johnny Knoxville and Jay Moore.
Really?
Wow.
And the crazy part was... I don't know the whole plot of the movie, but they were showing up at the restaurant, which was Baby Blues. And when they show up, they find out they can't go in because there'd been a car accident in the restaurant. So Rick joked around and said, well, I set designed it for you.
Right.
So they did shoot it. I went out there on Tuesday to check it out. I said hi to Jay. He said to say hi to everybody, but they did make the movie. So whenever that comes out, you'll be able to see Burnout Baby Blues.
Oh,
but hopefully, you know, Rick's determined to rebuild it. And
Well, I got to say, you know, you make good ribs and they shall come. So
that's right.
People will wait. And they'll work up an appetite, and they'll come back for the grand opening. And invite us out.
We're going to make some stuff happen. So anyway, speaking of heat, we have these cocktails, and I brought in four spirits that we've never had on the show before. We got Corsets Whips and Whiskey from Journeyman Distillery. We've got a double espresso vodka from Van Gogh. We have a 12-year-old blended Scotch whiskey from Cutty Sark. That's right. Yeah. The old stuff. And then what's this final one we got?
Smells like a grandpa.
Oh, yeah. And then we got Misunderstood Ginger Spiced Whiskey. And that's the one we're going to start with. And Paul's made some cocktails.
Misunderstood and Ginger Spice are both drag queens, by the way.
Yeah, is that the name? Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, this is a brand that launched in 2017 in New Jersey. Two guys whipped it up in their kitchen in Montclair, New Jersey. They called it Misunderstood because they felt as though the category of flavored whiskey was misunderstood. And I'm curious to see what you guys think. I was never a fan of flavored whiskey early on.
We think of birthday cake vodkas. Yeah.
But I came around. First of all, I had a couple of really good ones. And I've come around to the whole concept of flavored whiskey. They're sourcing this from Bardstown, Kentucky. That's where they're getting it from. But it's $30 a bottle. And if you don't like strong, big peaty scotches or just robust bourbons, this is a great entry point for you, I think.
I feel like I'm in a cabana right now.
What's the juice?
We need Paul in here to tell us what's in the drink. Paul's out there whipping up other ones.
This is good.
He did make us a drink, and I guess he'll tell us about it shortly if he ever.
Yeah, no, he's getting it.
Shows up.
I taste like maybe some clove.
There he comes.
Some grapefruit.
Yeah. And here's Paul. Hey, Paul Sanguinetti, everybody. Mm-hmm. Paul, what did you do with this drink here? The Misunderstood.
Well, we talked about the dog days of summer, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Put these headphones on. So I think we've all seen the Aperol Spritz craze kind of happening.
Yes.
And a lot of the trend happening is with lower ABV, lower alcohol-based cocktails. So the Aperol Spritz is a great way to kind of have all the fun but be able to have a few of them and still feel pretty good the next day. So we use the whiskey in here and with a little bit of Aperol. Muddled strawberries, fresh lemon juice, and a little Prosecco to make a sort of summertime.
And the flavor of the whiskey is what?
Ginger, spiced. Ginger and strawberry and lemon is just a very classic combination.
This is a nice combo.
Yeah, Brian, don't hate because it has Prosecco in it.
No, I don't even like Aperol, but this is the most I've ever liked Aperol. So cheers.
I don't think I've ever had a flavored whiskey. You know, my feeling is sort of like with flavoring things, if it's ginger, or lemony, or citrus or something, fine. It's just the cotton candy and that kind of shit, you know, like it's a Starburst or something. Then that's just for kids in the park, you know, like
syrupy.
I don't mind essence of something, but it's got to be something, an adult flavor that's connected with it, not a kid's flavor that's connected with it.
Like cupcake, like candy, cotton candy.
I'll tell you what fucking drives me nuts. You go to the ice cream place and you're like going, should I get the mint and chip or should I get the pralines and the pecans over there? And then somebody's getting confetti, raw cookie dough,
bubble gum flavor.
And it's like, and then they're putting fucking gummy bears on top. It's like that, you're just eating a bowl of weird colored sugar at this point. Like, get a flavor, put some hot chocolate on it and some nuts or something. Stay within the realm of what human beings would eat in a frozen form at an ice cream place. Do not get the cookie cupcake dough shit. And I feel the same way with the booze. Like, go ahead and have your different flavors. They're all good. Just stay in some adult realm.
Yeah.
The worst, I mean, I've had some bad ones, but this, the absolute worst flavored any spirit that I've ever
put them on blast, Dan.
No. They're, you'll be shocked to learn they're not in business anymore.
Oh.
It was called Ivana Bitch. That's the name of
another
the brand.
Another drag queen.
Ivana Bitch tobacco-flavored vodka.
Wow.
I'm not sure. It was like drinking vodka that had been poured into an ashtray. I'm not kidding.
I've never done that.
I never understood. I was like, what is the who's the audience for it?
Christmas party.
It smelled like cigarettes.
Brewed
it tasted
a spittoon.
Like cigarettes.
I Well, you had to know what you're getting into with that one, Dan. But
it was pretty nasty.
That is a weird one. But to be consistent, at least it's an adult flavor.
Yeah. That's true.
Lest we not forget the Indago.
I still have it.
Indigo. Oh, boy. Well, no, I actually had one.
Wait, was that Snoop Dogg's?
It was.
I posted a video, if you go to my Instagram, at the Imbiber. I got another product recently. I won't throw them under the bus, but it was a beer that was pickle-flavored beer. And when I say pickle-flavored, a lot of pickle flavor in there.
Pickle is very in right
now.
And
it was nasty. And so, as I told you, we used to do with Indigo, I play darts a lot at my house with my friends. And one of the punishments when you lose in darts, it's like, let's find the shittiest thing Dan has in his house, and you've got to drink it.
Yeah.
And I'm good at darts. So I'm like, I'm not going to lose. So we're like, you know what we'll do? Whoever loses the game has to shotgun, cut the hole in the bottom of the can.
How old are you now, Dan?
I know. I was just thinking that as I was saying it. But you have to shotgun the beer. Okay?
And they get a wedgie.
Never thinking that I'm going to lose this bet, right? And I lose the dart game, very dramatic fashion at the end. My buddy hit like three bullseyes to beat me. So I have to go out and do this thing. It is the closest I've come to vomiting in a very long time. I did it. I shotgun, and it... Everything happened. I got the sweats, the tingles, everything. And we were filming the whole thing. I backed off, bent over, thought I was going to vomit, did not. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on the beers too that have all the different crazy flavors. Look, to me, there's a variety within the beer.
Yeah.
There, within the beer category, there are 13 different tastes you could experience. Why are we getting the jalapeno mixed in with the IPA or the pickles or whatever?
No.
It's weird.
It doesn't work. And, I want to point this out before I forget. The straws, I feel like we've talked about
straw.
I feel like we talked about this before, hating paper straws,
yes.
Right? But also, we don't want to use single-use plastics because it's a fucking nightmare. I met this guy at a party. Weird party, too, by the way. It was half Russians, half Ukrainians. No joke.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And they all got along. My neighbor's Ukrainian. Mm-hmm. So I go over there, and I meet all these people. And where are you from? I'm from Russia. Where are you from? I'm from the Ukraine. I'm like, is there going to be a fucking throwdown here later? Mm-hmm. They loved each other. Everybody loved each other. So I meet this guy, Alexei, and he had these straws, and he said, you got to try them. They're made from wheat stalks. So it's called hay straws.
Wow.
They are completely biodegradable. Maybe.
But are they gluten-free?
They're good,
probably
right?
Not.
They don't have that weird paper texture, which I hate. It's
they're great.
They're great.
Yeah.
I didn't know. There's no plug, Ram. He gave them to me. Hey, like hay, H-A-Y, !! Straws. I don't know where you get them. I guess online. But
they're great.
But they're the best. They're the best straws that I've ever had that make me feel good about. I don't like metal straws in drinks. They get too cold.
Yeah, it feels like you're going to the dentist.
Right?
Yeah.
It ruins the drinks.
I don't know what it is about the metal straw. It seems like a plan that would work. We'd all have our own straw, our own carrying case, like we had a flute or something with us, and we're all just going to bring our straws everywhere. Never worked out.
I don't like the sound it makes at the bottom of the cup. Like, it gives me, like, it makes my teeth hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I
have 20 of them.
Do you really?
I really do.
Oh, I can't.
Two 10-packs.
Paper straws, I think I hate more than metal straws. And the texture, the other thing is when you go to festivals and they give you those wooden spoon,
fork, like the frosty
things.
Like that makes my skin crawl. Yeah. Like that texture of that makes, look at me, these are uptown problems.
they are.
Let's drink some more. Okay, right. So now we're going to move on to the next spirit we have.
I got to talk to me though. You got to take all, there can be no booze wasted. It all has to get like dumped into one tub. I mean,
make a suicide.
Don't mix and match the different drinks, but all the drinks need to end up in the same
separate
Tupperware container.
The next spirit we have on board is called Journeyman. It's from Journeyman Distillery, and the whiskey's called Corsets, Whips, and Whiskey. It's a family-owned place founded in 2010 up in Three Oaks, Michigan. The whiskey's called Corsets, Whips, and Whiskey because the distillery's located in an old factory from the 1800s that used to make corsets and whips.
Wow. Is this blackberry?
What's that? Paul will come in a minute and tell us about that. This is one of the few certified organic distilleries in the United States. You don't see that a lot. See it more in wine than you do with distilleries.
Wow.
This is the
tart.
Second.
Yeah, it really does defy what you expect. Yeah.
What's the flavor of the whiskey?
This is not a flavor. This is just a straight. It's a wheated whiskey, 100% wheat, which is unusual. You don't see that a lot. $60 a bottle for this. But this is not a flavored whiskey. This is just wheat whiskey tends to be a little bit on the sweeter side, but you also get that earthiness to it. This won Best in Show at the Ascot Awards, which is – I'm a judge there. A guy named Fred Minnick, who's one of the leading authorities on – maybe the leading authority on whiskey besides me in the country. And this was Best in Show of all the whiskeys.
Wow.
The Journeyman won that. It's single distilled, all 100% organic wheat from Michigan. And Paul made a drink. Now, what do we got here?
So this is a drink that I created called the Blacklisted. And the reason why I call it that, because I love the flavor of a nice bourbon whiskey with blackberries, because blackberries are a little smoky.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And with a nice whiskey, you get a little peppery notes.
Mm.
And with a wheated whiskey, you get somewhat sweeter notes. So this is a riff on a classic cocktail called the Gold Rush, which is very simple. It's just bourbon with lemon and honey.
Mm-hmm.
So I use an orange blossom honey syrup and just muddle some blackberries. Use the Journeyman Distillery's wheated whiskey and shook that with some lemon juice. And just very simple drink,
it's
but
tart.
You get a lot of flavor.
It's good.
Yeah.
That's
this
a
one,
lot of flavor. Yeah.
It takes you on a journey. At first, it's a little sweet, and it finishes really tart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love a Gold Rush, but this actually, I think the berry the influence just really makes it for me. And I think it's a super refreshing drink. And I don't know that people think about whiskey drinks as being the most refreshing drinks. You know, a lot of people like vodka drinks or rum
tequila.
Drinks or, you know, tiki drinks. But I think whiskey cocktails overall maybe make the most refreshing drinks that we have. So
this is good.
This is a good one. Now we're going to get the third one coming here, Paul.
What's the difference between a Gold Rush and a hot toddy? Is it just the temperature?
Well...
Now you're blowing my mind right now.
Yeah.
I got to go marinate on that in the back.
Oh, okay.
First.
Is that similar?
But you might be right. You might be right.
Just, well, do you put the lemon? Yeah, you should do put lemon in the hot toddy as well.
Yeah.
I think it's just a temperature thing.
How did we never know this?
I don't know.
Smart on us with the spirits.
So hot toddy is just a hot Gold Rush.
Gold Rush.
Yeah. Speaking of lemons, Adam, on the flight home, smuggled lemons in his hat.
You are such an old man.
I couldn't believe it.
I'll show them.
We're having look. There's a weird lemon. I know it's lemon. It's lime. But there's something going on with lemons in that we were saying. Now I'm sweaty because
Alex
I told
Jones
you if I imbibe citrus, I get sweaty. The only thing I'm a little bit allergic to is a lot of citrus. If I do citrus, like if I eat a big chunk of pineapple, I will get sweaty on my forehead.
So by all means, smuggle lemons in your hat.
I love that you just said that because the next drink that's coming in has pineapple in it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to be sweating my ass off.
I love it, yeah.
You're all worthless and weak.
We were in the goddamn airport in Salt Lake City at 8 in the morning. Maybe we had an 8:30 flight. We're sitting at the bar. Oh, I was sitting in the restaurant bar. It was like 7:45 or something like that. I ordered an iced tea, making sure it was old school iced tea, not fucking passion fruit, which is, I feel like it's waning a little bit. People are waking up that we don't like that. And I did this thing, which is now what I do. I go, is it iced tea, like regular iced tea? And they go, yeah, it's regular iced tea, which could mean passion fruit because they've been there for 6 months
that's
what they were serving
them.
When they showed up. And I go, but regular iced tea, not passion fruit iced tea, right? And then they go, no, it's regular iced tea. And I go, good. Give me that with lemon. The day before, somebody ordered an iced tea and said no lemon, and they got lemon. Yeah. There's some sort of weird relationship with lemon wedges. So then I said, yeah, give me the iced tea with lemon. And she gave me the iced tea with no lemon. Mm-hmm. And then I went and found her, like, behind the thing. And I said, hey, I ordered lemon. And then she goes, oh, you want some lemon? Which is always this thing where it's like, I didn't just think of this. I said it when I ordered it, and you fucking forgot about it. Then they give you three lemons because it's the ketchup packet theorem, which is you order a large fry. They give you one ketchup packet. And then you go, okay. could I have a couple more ketchup packets? And then they take the box out from underneath and they turn it over and they shake it and makes a pile of packets. It's like, fuck you, you gluttonous pig. And it's like, you could have just given me two more. But they now
it's passive aggressive.
Right. So she gave me three lemons. Then I said, I will use one up on my iced tea, but the other two need to come with me on the plane, these other two lemon wedges. And then I looked around. There was no napkins. There was no there's no paper bag, the plastic baggies or anything. So I said to Chris, I shall put these under my ball cap. So I put the lemons on the ball cap.
On your head.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I put the ball cap back on, and then we went into the flight, and I had a first-class ticket. So I was sitting up there and
Beverly Hillbillies.
I know. It's a small plane, but I still had a first class ticket. And she said, would you like a drink? And I said, yes, I would. I'd like a vodka and soda water with lemon. And she said, we don't have lemon. And I just go, why? And they go, it's a COVID thing. I go, what the fuck does COVID have to do with citrus?
And they're like,
we just stopped it and that's the end of that. Shouldn't they just reintroduce lemon onto their aircraft?
Imagine being the guy sitting next to Adam when he pulls his hat off
and
pulls a lemon wedge off of his hair and squeezes it into his drink.
It didn't go down
excuse
that
me,
way.
Can I move back to coach, please?
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
It was Mike August who was sitting next to me. So I was waiting for her to go, no lemon, no lime, no citrus. And I was like, good. And I pulled my hat off. But one of the wedges flew out because they don't. If you put lemon wedges like on your head, they don't just stay where you put them.
The more you know.
You lift the hat off, they're airborne at this point. So one fell between my ass and the seat side, and the other one fell. I think the other one was still on my head. So
it was.
I said, I got your lemon right here, baby. And she gave me a drink, and I squeezed my lemon.
So you did use one hat lemon?
I used two hat lemons.
And did you put them back where you found them, in your hat?
No. Once I was done, I put them in the drink. Yeah. Well, there was a pre-takeoff hat lemon use, and then there was at altitude second lemon hat lemon use.
But you didn't discard the lemon after you squeezed the juice. You put the entire hair lemon in your drink?
Yeah. It's my hair, but yeah.
Hair lemon, good
that's
work
right.
for nuts.
Now I feel comfortable telling you that Paul smuggled these raspberries here in his underwear, so everybody's good with that.
I ate mine.
Yeah. You know the things, when you say this thing, it doesn't make any sense where she said it's COVID. And
you're a mixologist.
Yeah, I'm not.
Or close to it. Yeah. Look, you're in the
adjacent.
Game. You're adjacent.
Yeah.
But you know the game well. So many drinks, from a Diet Coke to an iced tea to a vodka soda, vodka, whatever, any drink. So many drinks need the lemon or the lime wedge. The fact that you're just running a first-class organization here, literally the first class of the plane, and you've removed it. I mean, what if you had a bar, and your bar policy was just no lemons and no limes at any time? Like, wouldn't that kind of affect the product?
Sure.
And you're calling it a first-class bar. Like, put it back on the fucking plane. That's all I'm saying.
I
smuggle the shit on there. It was like Schindler's List, but with lemons. I feel like I
could have got one more.
I had to liberate the citrus. I've smuggled it. I'm forced to smuggle it in my hand. I had no choice. What was my choice, Dan?
I don't know. When you've been reduced to smuggling lemons in on your head to the plane,
well,
I think you've...
I could have put them in my pocket, but then how would that work? I'd sit down,
they'd squeeze out. Do you remember the moment when all shame left your body? Like, when was that?
When I pulled the hat off. I had lemons, big lemon wedges on my head.
This happened the other day. When you tell me things that makes no sense. I went to the pet store the other day. And I buy all this. I get all like $200 worth of shit because my dog eats expensive foods and treats and everything. And I get up and I check out, and I'm done. And then I've got a bunch of items. And then the guy says, "Do you need a bag?" Mm. And I went, "Yeah, I do." And he said, you should have told me because it's 10 cents." I'm not kidding. He goes, "It's 10 cents for the bag." And I said, "Well, I don't have any money. I don't have 10 cents on me."
Oh, because he did the car.
He already did it.
You have
but I like it. But the best was when he said, "I should have told him."
Right.
As if I'm. What? Right. How many things do you have to keep track of at your job? And one is to let me know that if I want the bag, you got to tack on 10 cents. You didn't do it.
Can't he? Two things. He sees you ordered 13 items. Yeah. Number one. Number two. He doesn't see you carrying around a tote, right? He can see you're shirtless in there.
Yeah, there wasn't much.
And what he should know, out of all people, to ask you that before he runs the card, right?
That's not on you.
100%. But then the best is I go, "Hey, can I, can I just have the bag?" And he said, "Ah." He's clearly, it was like, I threw a curveball at him. And he goes, "Ah." No joke. I need to ask my manager.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I went, "Hey, man. I just spent like $240. The fucking bag's less than a penny. Like, give it to me." Right? But he didn't know. And then the manager overheard and she came up and she said, "Oh, no, it's totally fine. Here you go." And he's like, "Okay, cool." And the relief on his face.
Yeah.
Like this is a conundrum for him.
He dodged
the
bullet.
He was going to be able to give me this bag. Okay, drinks.
Can I have one of those straws?
Yeah,
we have more straws. Really?
Am I the only one asking for lemons on a flight?
All right.
This is always news to the stewardess. No idea what I'm talking about.
I can't wait to see Adam sweat this one out. All right, next up.
Pineapple?
An oldie.
It's opaque.
An oldie but a goodie. Cutty Sark. That's right. Cutty Sark whiskey came around 1923. Prohibition. It's a blended whiskey. We all know it. Our grandfathers drank it. Our dads drank it. Everybody drank. Cutty Sark is an iconic brand. They just came out with a 12-year Cutty Sark. It's the first new expression from this brand since Prohibition. Back in the 60s, 1961,
mm-hmm.
Cutty Sark was the first whiskey to sell a million cases in the United States. It was the biggest selling whiskey in the United States in 1961. It's named after a boat. I'm sure you
know.
It's a, what do they call them? A clipper?
Clipper.
A tea clipper. So they used to get the tea. You had to get it quick there. The boat had to be quick. The boat's still around, by the way.
Oh, really?
1863. Yeah. It's one of three boats from the what century would that be? 19th century that are still around. Clippers. Three clippers that are still around. So this is an 80-proof whiskey, Cutty Sark. Adam likes to know what the stuff costs. This is $30 a bottle for the 12-year-old.
It's non-flavored.
It's non-flavored. Oh, I mean, it's flavored like blended whiskey.
Doesn't taste like air.
No. And there's a. I don't know if you've ever heard of Berry Brothers and Rudd, which is a famous store. It used to be a wine shop in London, Savoy Row, I think it is. And that's where the Cutty Sark was thought up to do this brand. And so again, been around since 1923. And now Paul did something here, which you can see.
Frothy
white drink in front of us that you would absolutely never think would be made with Cutty Sark. What you do here, Paul?
So this is a drink I came up with based on our Dog Days of Summer theme. This is the Corolla Colada.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And I got inspiration for this. I got to go down to Puerto Rico a few years back, and we were going up to the jungles up there for a hike. And there are these roadside stands where they'd cut the coconut, and then you had a choice where you could ever have Dewar's Scotch whiskey in there or Bacardi rum.
Wow.
And I was like, Scotch whiskey
and
coconut? Mm-hmm. So I was like, I got to try that.
Right.
I mean, there's got to be some reasoning to it. So I went for the for the Scotch in that coconut, and I realized that Scotch and coconut is a very great combination. So when Dan presented me with the spirits that we're going to be working with today, I thought it might be fun to kind of play around with the Scotch Pina Colada. So I like my drinks a little bit less sweet, as you can kind of tell.
Mm. Mm.
But this is just Cutty Sark 12-year that Dan mentioned. And then we have some fresh pineapple juice, a little bit of coconut cream, and a touch of Ron's Copper Rum and Amontillado Sherry to make it a little bit nutty, and then some fresh mint blended in.
That's fantastic.
So good.
Holy shit, that's refreshing.
It's like a seven-stroke cocktail.
It's so good.
Was it 105 degrees out right now, 104? So
it is brutal. And by the way, everybody, Paul's going to put these recipes on his Instagram, at PFunkLA, right?
Yep,
I got that right?
That's correct,
and I will put on, at the Imbiber, all of the bottles that we had today. You'll see photos of them so you know, and what they cost so you can do it so you don't drive me crazy.
This is great. This is a great one that if you put them in like little ice cube trays with toothpicks and froze them, this would be a great popsicle.
Mm. You're crushing it right now.
Really?
Like, It's very rarely my mind gets blown, but you're like blowing my mind today.
Well, this now, is great.
The hot toddy is a hot gold rush, and I should be freezing these in my, my
this
freezer.
This is fantastic.
So this is great because pina coladas are always that syrupy mess, and they're way too sweet, and they're sort of distractingly sweet, and you kind of miss the essence of what it is because all you're tasting is corn syrup normally. And this is like a dry pina colada. Like it is tamped down, but you get the flavor of it. And it has like a little more of a meal vibe to it than a fruity cocktail. It doesn't feel like a fruity cocktail.
You're definitely getting that sort of citrusy flavor to it. It's coming through. Delicious. And again, you're missing the sweetness. I just think it's absolutely delicious. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the final drink that we have. Is that it right there?
No, it's coming up right now.
It's coming up. All right.
God, that's good.
The mint works. I'll tell you the thing about the mint is I don't know if it's flavoring the drink, but you inhale the mint as you're taking a sip, and that makes a difference.
Yeah. So I blended some mint in there and garnished it with that, so you get the aroma. But I really think it kind of brings out, like, it really works well with the scotch.
Yeah.
So I don't.
It's delicious.
Fantastic.
If you're a health nut alcoholic, this would be a great breakfast smoothie.
Yeah,
and the name is great. Corolla Colada.
Corolla Colada.
That could be fabulous. I think because I've been to a few Corolla family barbecues, and one constant is it's hot.
Yes.
Yes.
I think these would kill.
Oh.
These would kill
in one of those cranking slushy machines.
Just get the thing going and get it. I mean, it's really, absolutely refreshing.
I'm going to start smuggling mint onto flights now. I'm really falling in love with
mint.
Put
that in your socks.
Wait, it's serious. What's under Adam's hat?
Look, where was I supposed to put the lemon?
Adam, if somebody filmed you, that would go just as viral as that hot dog straw guy.
But I'm not doing it for the clicks, bitch.
I know.
I just want some lemon in my goddamn drink.
Because I was two rows behind you, and it looked odd.
They're like, Adam Carolla lost his mind. Like, people are in the back and coach going, look at that poor guy.
His support lemons. Weren't there any cocktail napkins?
Where we were sitting.
No, there wasn't.
It was 10 cents. It cost 10
you
cents.
You still got to kind of put them in your pocket. Maybe I could have put it in my backpack. I was worried something would happen to lemons. When they're on your head, you know where the lemon is.
You know, that's
the whole thing.
All the girls through the 70s and 80s did to lighten their hair. I'm shocked you don't have like a little patch right here.
Really? With that?
You put lemon juice on the hair.
They put lemon juice on the hair and then go out in the sun.
That's right. You have to
go out
in the sun.
I used to tan, I'm not kidding, with cooking oil.
Oh my God, you're a misery chicken.
No, back when we were like in Philly, be like, put some Crisco on and go out in the sun.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we were like trying to kill ourselves.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Did you have one of those weird like half octagon sun things?
You would self-immolate. Yeah. You didn't need it with the Crisco. Trust me.
My grandmother had a tanning kind of light, like a folding light that sort of the kind of light you'd see in an auto body place when they're trying to dry the door that they just painted, you know, red thing. She put her face in it. It was weird. You know what was weird?
The wrinkle-o-matic.
Yes. The thing is the idea was to take white people and get them a couple of shades darker, right? We felt the only way we could do that is tanning beds, tanning lights, Crisco out in the sun. No one ever put together the concept of what if we took some cream and put a couple dark drops in it and you could just kind of put that on? Like we had been painting cars and airplanes and ships for 100 years. How come no one went, why don't we just put a little dollop of this stuff? Like people were coloring their hair. They were coloring everything. Like, why don't you put a little on your face? Like why lay out in front of, or maybe it's dark outside and you're going out tonight and you want a tan. Like, how come the tan cream part didn't kick in? The tan cream part kicked in 12 years ago. Until then, it was just bake out and go to the tan salon and lay in a tanning bed with the red lights.
I hate to shit on your point, but that tanning cream doesn't have like makeup in it. It actually changes like the melanin. Like it's a white cream and it actually interacts with your skin and makes it darker.
Yeah, that works. Or do the one that's just
foundation.
Foundation. Right.
It's funny to try to explain some of the things that happened back then. For some reason, when you brought this up, I was thinking, I remember my aunt had, do you remember these things, Ace, where you would stand there and it had a band.
Oh, yeah.
And the band would go like this.
Like belt. Jiggle you.
And the belt and jiggle you. And I would say, what are we doing, Aunt Chickie? Your name was Chickie. And I'd say, what are we doing? Oh, this is how you lose weight.
If yeah. only.
Like people thought that that made you lose weight. Shaking your fat up around your waist.
Thanks.
Like agitating your fat would make
no,
you
but
lose
the
weight.
Only,
I wish.
Whether it was eating the popcorn with, I can't believe it's not butter, spray on it, or Aunt Chickie massaging her gunt with a leather belt. Whatever it was, or now, if it's like, oh, we got to help the black community by lowering the math test score so they can get into Stanford. Like, at some point when nothing works, do you ever step back and go, I don't think this shit is working? Like,
back to the drawing
board. How much time can you spend on the thing with the belt around your belly or eating the popcorn or doing whatever? Hey, we got a problem for the homeless situation. Let's open the hotels up so they can stay in the hotel, or we'll give them clean injection sites. Like, at a certain point, when a decade goes by and you don't get any thinner and we get more homeless people, like, at what point do you go, hey, maybe we should stop
doing this?
Like, it doesn't seem to be effective, yeah. I guess is what I'm saying.
What if, here's an idea. Hmm. What if we found some of those old belt contraptions?
Yeah.
And brought them to homeless encampments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's going to solve the problem, but it would be funny to watch homeless people
they're not
standing
fat.
There getting –
that's
true.
The fat
not, that's true. They're not fat. All right. Let's get on the final drink
this
here.
This drink is quite the pick.
Everybody knows espresso is kind of the hot thing now. Espresso,
it
martinis.
Is.
I watch – I'll admit this. I watch Below Deck. Mm-hmm. I watch all of the Below Decks, Mediterranean, Sailing Yacht, Australia. Watch them all. And all of the people that go on the yachts order – espresso martinis. It's aspirational. I'm good with it. I'm fine with it. So, I've got Van Gogh vodka, double espresso vodka. Van Gogh was launched in 2000. They're known primarily for their flavored vodkas. This is a 70 proof vodka, again, made from the Netherlands. That's where this hails from. It is the world's first, probably only, double espresso vodka. I find it very smooth.
What makes it double?
They turned it up to twice.
11?
Two times.
Okay.
Double the amount.
Two.
Yeah.
A lot of two stuff. Double. Twice.
All right.
So we have this. Look, it's a simple. This is $20 to $25 a bottle for this. So you could make an espresso martini. Or if you're a creative guy like Paul Sanguinetti, you make, what do we have?
So it's a working title, but this is called the Blanco Californian. So instead of like a white Russian, I wanted to do a white Californian. So we have the Van Gogh double espresso vodka, and then I put in a little bit of a Jalisco spirit of California, Pisco. Well, it's not a Pisco, but it's a grape spirit that I'm making, so it gives like some round notes to boost the flavors of the espresso and round out the vodka. And then I have, being in true California tradition, vanilla oat milk.
Mmm. Mm.
Nice.
Good.
So, yeah, so we already, so, you know, think about a white Russian. It's, you know, typically like a coffee liqueur, like Kahlua with vodka and then cream or milk. So in true Californian style, and also trying to keep the drinks lighter, less sugary, I used vanilla oat milk instead of cream.
That's great.
And then a little cinnamon on top. And
yeah.
Then, and three espresso beans because an espresso martini, even though this isn't an espresso martini, should always have three espresso beans for
why
good luck.
Three?
Three is just a lucky number.
Okay.
So, but it's tradition. So every espresso martini should have three coffee beans on it.
I think they do that with the after meal.
Digestif.
Yeah, the liqueurs when you get the
limoncello or something like that, or
it's the licorice. I'm trying to think of that.
Anisette, or Sambuca.
Sambuca. Like if you go to the steakhouse and they give you the Sambuca at the end, they always put the three beans in there.
Yep.
I always eat them. By the way,
what
or
if it was
put
two?
Them in my hat and
what
take
if they
them
gave
home.
You two? Would it be bad luck?
Yeah.
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 Can't do that.
By the way, you have to get on a plane with three espresso beans on your head.
Good luck.
And order a drink.
I'm not a weirdo, Dan.
And your mint.
And just shake it into the drink. Just go, yes, there we go.
I didn't anticipate that taking off the hat would then unleash the lemon wedges. I thought they'd sort of stay where they were. But the walk from the bar into the plane, they'd moved around.
Oh, my God. My the head. Greatest thing ever would have been if – I know you had already gone through security, but if you had to go through security and somehow you got flagged and they made you take your hat off, having to explain to the TSA why you have two lemon wedges on your hand.
I should be dragged out.
Superstition.
All right. Well, we got to do the news that at some point. Paul, this is fantastic. Oh. And I listen.
Triumph.
Maybe it's because it's got my name on it, but the Corolla Pina Colada. I'm enjoying the hell out of this.
Yeah,
thing.
This is. I mean, Paul, you obviously every time you come in, you nail it. But every one of these drinks is delicious.
And so different. And thank you for letting Paul come in, because I know you were feeling a little threatened by him. And we appreciate you letting him come
back. Well, what happened was Paul came to the Corolla Family Barbecue as well, and no one was coming up to Paul and going, can we get a picture?
So then you felt better.
My ego went back up again. I'm like, all right,
we hashed out.
I'm more beloved.
So thank you, and I'm happy to make the Corolla Coladas at next year's barbecue.
Ooh,
that would be awesome.
Yes. There you go.
I'll let you get to the news.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
Delicious.
It's always a great time. So
all right. Let me hit Geico real quick here. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure you do, and it could be hard work, and you know it's easy. Bundling your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the home. So go to geico.com. Get a quote, see just how much you could save and just how easy it is to save when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, we'll do a little bit of news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Once again, I'm feeling kind of loose, so we'll try and make this as concise as possible. The average life expectancy in the U.S. has dropped for a second consecutive year. That's according to a new government report issued this week. The report shows a three-year drop in the estimated American lifespan since the beginning of the pandemic. So the fall is the largest two-year drop in nearly 100 years, like around like World War II-ish. The average American lifespan is now 76 years old and 1 month. In 2019, it was 78 years old and 10 months. The CDC blames three things, which I don't think you'll be shocked by. COVID deaths, because, of course, there was a lot of them coded that way. Drug overdoses and suicides.
Yeah. Now, by the way, fuckers, the drug overdoses and the suicides are because of your lockdown policies because of the COVID, you fucking fascists. Fuck you. That's why we're having those. And the COVID deaths.
Effect.
Who the fuck even knows how many they marked as COVID deaths? Because we're going to have to find that shit out, because they've incentivized hospitals to mark everyone with a COVID death.
If you were COVID positive when you died.
After the motorcycle accident, you got that. So we'll see what that data is, too.
Would you guys like to take any guesses what the longest lifespan is and shortest based on race?
In the U.S.?
The longest? Oh.
Yeah, just in general.
So the longest?
In the U.S., but still divided by race.
So you got,
like something American.
You got to go Japanese on the tall end.
You're right. Asian American, life expectancy 83 and a half.
Then you got to go.
Dwarfs.
You think.
Race?
You think black would be good, but maybe there's a American Indian type.
You are a goddamn genius.
Yeah,
65.
See, blacks, there's always someone doing worse.
But by the way, when I get this 76, I see this as good news. I don't know. I know how I feel now, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to feel when I'm 76, and I'm not going to be like, boy, give me 10 more years of this shit.
Yeah.
You know, like 76, I think, would be a great run.
Yeah.
I don't know, but hanging out at home and drinking and playing darts, I feel like you're going to make a great old timer.
Shotgunning pickle beers. What could go wrong?
So the American Indian
is the lowest. Yeah.
65.
Yeah. 65.
How about
the Asian
Japanese?
American,
how long
that's
do they
83
go?
And a half.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got to fix that through systemic what? Like, I love the whole thing where it's like, we got to fix this thing. Well, I don't know. Maybe they have a better diet. Maybe they have a little better body mass index. Maybe they don't smoke as much. Maybe they eat a little better. Maybe there's something to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been talking a lot about airplanes today. And I mean, not dangerous, but tacky things happening on planes. So let's talk about this one.
Lemons in there.
Such as? Do tell.
A recent Southwest flight was getting ready to take off to Cabo when a passenger used the Apple eyedrop feature to pass along nudes to fellow travelers. And it got so out of control, the pilot had to get on and intervene. Here's a clip of the plane captain admonishing passengers for doing this and basically saying, like, I'm turning this fucking thing around.
So you can, well, he was saying, I'm not taking off.
We're going to hear it.
I watch TMZ.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the deal. This continues while we're on the ground. I'm going to have to pull back to the gate. Everybody's going to have to get off. We're going to have to get security involved. And it's vacation that's going to be ruined. So you folks, whatever that airdrop thing is, quit sending naked pictures. Let's get yourself to Cabo.
The airdrop feature. So the that went super viral.
So you can communicate with everyone else on the plane?
If their Bluetooth is on, they're discoverable.
Play the rest when he says, and the guy with the lemon on his head.
Oh, we're looking at you.
Knock it off.
Someone tried to airdrop something to Christy on the flight home from Hawaii.
Hot.
Oh, you have to accept it?
Yeah.
Like, it'll, if you push accept, it'll be airdropped right into your photos, your photo library.
So, like, some gent few seats forward could be attracted to you and just go, hey, lady.
You want to see what I'm packing?
It would be unlikely he would know who you are. Like, on the iPhone, it would say, like, Joe's iPhone, you know, Fred's iPhone. You start dropping it to people. Because it didn't say Christian seat.
That happened recently on another flight that was a video that was going around. And I guess they figured out what guy it was and just start, like, the women just started, like, beating on this guy. So don't be a douche.
Beating off this guy?
Beating off this guy. Okay. They took it very well.
See, maybe it works. Send these nudes.
Do you remember, Brian? I know you will because you're a big Virgin flyer.
Does Virgin exist?
Not really. But do you remember their, like, sort of thing with, like, swinging singles on their plane? You could send, a bag of mixed nuts to row 13E.
You could send messages, like, from the screen. Like, oh, the girl in 14D is really hot. I'm going to press that and say, hey, sup, or whatever. Wow.
I used to bring my Mr. Microphone onto the plane. Remember that? Hey, I'll be back to pick you up later. They love that. Yeah.
Oh, we're very familiar with Mr. Microphone.
Mr. Microphone.
Let's talk about Yale. A Yale University orientation group is apologizing for committing violence after some of its members helped clean up a homeless encampment that had been evacuated by the police. And that is the entire sentence. Fox News reports that Yale's Focus program is one of five groups for incoming freshmen that focus on community service around the university. The program partners with New Haven Department of Parks and Trees, which had been a group of students just cleaning up stuff. And the police had cleared out this one encampment, and so they came in to clean up the aftermath. But student leaders at Focus were outraged when they learned of the move, stating that students had committed theft against unhoused people. Members of Focus said this.
Theft means you keep the thing or sell it.
Not toss it. This is what their statement said.
How do you have valuables if you live on a sidewalk? I mean, what... What do you think you have? My collection of Fabergé eggs is missing! Missing, I tell you, thank God they were insured.
Well,
my Yadro!
No, because during the height of COVID, where I live in Venice, Rose Avenue, there was about a 4-block stretch. There were lots of valuables. Bikes. Looked like a bike shop. I'd go by and be like, wonder where they're getting those from. Where the $5,000 tech I mean, there's lots of valuables in the camps. They're just
that's a good point.
Not theirs. Yeah.
Well, this was the statement they put out to the Yale News.
You know, my feeling
News.
I see guys riding around on two bikes now and carrying,
ghost riding it.
Yeah, my new policies. The ghost riding guy. The guy's riding one bike and he's ghost riding the other. And I used to go, that guy's stealing that bike. That bike's stolen. Now I realize both bikes are stolen.
You were wrong.
He didn't go down to Sears and buy the one he's riding and then steal the other one. He stole the one he's riding as well.
Probably true.
I love the idea that we had to, there's these ordinances that we're doing. Like, you have to kind of think about the ordinance. Like, there was a city ordinance that no homeless encampments between 500 feet of the schools and churches. And then
daycare.
And we're going to do away with chop shops. Like, what are you talking about? Just open street chop shops where you steal bikes and then chop them up. Like, Isn't that shit just illegal? Yeah, like, would we need an ordinance? Why the decree? You stole someone's bike. You're fucking chopping up and selling the parts. How about that just falls under the heading of theft?
Illegal.
Illegal?
We talked about Baby Blues, the fire. Before, a couple of weeks ago, there was a guy across the street with a van parked with a hand-scrawled sign on a piece of cardboard that said, bikes for sale.
Oh.
On his van that he was clearly living out of, and he had a bunch of, and I'm going, how is, like, if I did that, I know I'd be in jail. Like, I know that if I did this, I would be in jail, but this guy's openly selling bikes that he stole on Lincoln Boulevard in Venice, a major thoroughfare.
Broad daylight.
And you're going, no one's doing anything about this.
No.
Oh, I got to drink more.
Empty
this Corolla
bag.
Colada.
It's good.
Take this sting off.
Well, this is the statement the group put out. This sort of violence, cleaning up after the cops, and theft of unhoused people's homes and belongings is antithetical to the values of Focus. And they went on to say, the fact that Focus members were told to participate in this violence speaks to the gap between the ideals we hold and the work we actually need to do. This is a really good example of broadening a term, violence.
Well, listen, I've said it went from offended to affected to impacted.
Traumatized.
It's all the same shit. It's like you just stuff that used to be offensive, and you go, well, fucking lighten up then, Bible thumper.
Yeah.
Then it went affected. Now I'm affecting you. Now I'm impacting you. Now I'm fucking hitting you with my car.
Yeah.
Fuck you and your misuse of the English language. What violence? Cleaning up your fucking shopping carts with your shit in it. It's not violence.
Anybody that says that has never grown up the way we grew up. Like, I know what violence is. It's when someone fucking punches you in the face. Like, that's... It's a lot different than if someone took my thing that I left on the curb. That's not violence. That's
thank God.
Another word.
Dan was covered in Crisco and he didn't cuss. He slipped that shit like a prize fighter with Vaseline.
That was another thing, man. They couldn't when you get in the fight. You got the Crisco on, slides right off.
Oh, they try to hold you down. Poof. Like an eel, he slide right out.
I would be remiss if we didn't mention one of the most iconic bits of Family Guy, the greased up deaf guy.
Oh,
you
I
have
never
to catch
saw
him.
Oh, like a pig?
Yeah, and you can never catch him.
I
you don't remember that one?
I don't remember, but I am seeing if I ever, God forbid, I die of like melanoma, Kroll is going to be like, saw that coming.
Well, you didn't want to get to 76 and a half.
Totally
so
saw that coming. Yeah.
Dragging down the average.
That'll teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Crisco.
Those white guys.
One more?
Yeah, one
all
more.
All right. I've just because.
Apologize for violence.
Yeah, it's just, like you said, it's a misuse of the word. This is just such a great visual. You just Google it because it's fantastic. Motorists in Memphis were held up for hours on Interstate 55 on Tuesday when a tractor trailer overturned and spilled its entire load of Alfredo sauce.
Wow.
Oh,
this creamy sticky, thick white sauce covered the northbound lanes of the highway and made it impossible for cars to pass.
It literally is.
It's just, it's Alfredo sauce everywhere. Luckily, the driver of the truck wasn't injured, and the crash is under investigation. It took hours to clean up because not only is there sauce everywhere, there's glass everywhere. It was just tons and tons of jars of Alfredo sauce in the hot, humid, fucking
the
all the vermin, the bugs.
The only thing that would make that story better is if it crashed into a fettuccine truck.
That's true.
And then they're like, now what do we do?
A Bertolli truck.
What do we do? Guess what? Yeah. You bring in the homeless people who had all their shit stolen and you let them eat the fettuccine Alfredo.
You're genius.
Yep, there we go.
Yeah. I don't know what they, on the racetrack, they'll throw like the kitty litter down to like soak it up. If there's oil, I don't mean Alfredo sauce. But in this case, I don't know, got to get a pressure washer, got to get the street sweeper.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys ever seen it? The street sweepers don't seem that effective.
No, it's just like a
I grew up watching them. It's like a brush that turns and a guy who goes there and it leaves a weird wet track, but it never seems any cleaner.
No.
Just
kind swirly.
Kind of like a leaf blower.
Yes.
So they're just kind of spreading
it around.
Yeah, move shit around.
And this just in, breaking news in hindsight, as it says on the tweet.
Don't do that.
And this was August 30th, just a day or two ago. A tomato truck was overturned on the California highway. So
wow.
I don't know if you want a red sauce or a white sauce, but you have options.
What's going on? A lot of pasta-related accidents going on.
Delicious accidents.
What's the best tomato, Dan?
The Jersey Fresh tomatoes.
There's a Jersey Fresh?
Oh, man, there used to be commercials when I was a kid, and they go, Jersey Fresh tomatoes. And they would look. Jersey tomatoes are the best tomatoes.
I love a beefsteak tomato.
Oh, man. What are the green ones called?
Tortillas?
Green tomato. Oh, those are different.
No,
those
the ones
tomatoes.
That you get when you get this tomato salad.
It's green tomatoes.
Green, is it just called a green tomato?
No heirloom tomatoes
heirloom,
are just like.
Heirloom tomatoes.
Those are just like mutts. They're just rando tomatoes that. Create stripes.
I don't like the cherry tomatoes. I don't like
no,
the little
no,
ones.
Too small.
I don't like they're pussy. The skin is too hard. Yep. It's too thin. I don't know what it is. Who talked us into that? Why are they popping up everywhere? Why are they on top of every salad? So many people will like them. I hate them.
Well, you
I
bite them
it.
And the shit squirts out
yes.
and gets on you.
Your mouth isn't big enough.
Then the fucking skin is leather.
No.
What is that?
Real quick.
Oh, please.
Yes. Oh, sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
My truck driving uncle used to talk shit about tomato truck drivers and orange truck drivers because they were seasonal. They weren't real truck drivers.
Interesting.
He's like, if you're ever driving on Highway 5, watch out for the tomato truck drivers.
Just because I'm a little tiny bit lit and I don't know when we'll ever get to this. Have you guys seen Moondrop Grapes? I just emailed Ben a picture of them. These were at Ralph's. They fucking blew my mind. Have you heard of these?
No.
Moondrop.
They're like long. They look like big, long, like purple carrots.
Oh, yes.
They're
I have
crazy.
Seen those.
Crazy.
I see the tiny ones.
No.
They're long.
These are fucking, these are the size of baby
They're
carrots.
Like grapes you take a bite out of while you're holding the other part of the grape, right?
Yes.
Wow.
And you just eat
huge.
Them like you do normal grapes?
You eat it like you were eating a pickle.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're huge.
Yeah, they're long. Yeah.
Anyway,
I've
just wanted to know.
Wait, are you saying that length there is huge, in your opinion?
It's very girthy.
All right. Okay, I like this. Can I say something, by the way? I listened to the show yesterday.
Oh, that was that.
I listened to the show yesterday, and you were talking about sign language, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I needed to bring this up. My very first girlfriend in my life, Danielle Simon. I don't know where she is. I haven't seen her in a lot of years. Don't want to give away how old I am.
Okay.
So I learned sign language. She was deaf.
Well, she was not listening.
And I knew this. Oh, man. Damn it. I knew
deaf.
Someone was going to go there. So I learned sign language. Enough of it. And I forgot everything. But the one thing I remember, this is, ready? Wait. Mm-hmm. This is what I remember.
Two knuckles coming.
It looks like a heart. And you go like this. And you spread it. It means separate, break up.
Oh, she dumped you that way.
That's the only sign language I remember is when Danielle Simon dumped me at the YWCA camp in Philadelphia. We were at YWCA camp. That's where we met. And she had met somebody else, I guess. But she dumped me. I was like 8.
Oh, how sad.
And this was what I remember.
She did the hand. Oh,
she broke up with me.
Oh, Dan, no.
I know. It's terrible. But I'm not kidding. When I was listening to you yesterday, first of all, maybe the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
The thing that you did about the signers was so brilliant, man. I was walking my dog. I was laughing so hard. But then I got a little traumatized because I remembered.
Yeah.
I really thought Daniel and Simon and I had a... I know.
I know. She could have been your little drinking buddy forever.
She didn't...
But she did the... It's sort of two thumbs up, Fonzie.
Like a hitchhiker.
You would think a woman that didn't have to listen to me talk, I'd have a future with.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You'd think that would be the woman for me.
Yeah.
Mm.
And no. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring
it
up.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Dan.
I know.
Should I bring it home?
Yeah, bring it home.
Got it. Gina Gratton, that's the
Dan's got another story about being young.
I'm getting this is. I've entered the weepy maudlin drunk stage of my... Danielle.
And a blind girlfriend in the 9th grade. All right, let me tell you, last but not least, the Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this episode, the Jordan Harbinger Show. Well, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts or interesting people, you should definitely check it out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks with Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter. Or you can go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes to boost your productivity or slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. Jordan's a good dude, interesting guy, speaks a lot of languages, been there and done that. So check him out. We enjoy the show. I think you will too. So you can search out the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy. I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, and do it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to finer podcasts. It is the Jordan Harbinger Show. Dan Dunn, the podcast, What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, Instagram, The Imbiber. You can check that out as well. Dan's got a couple of books out. as well.
That American Wino, Living Loaded, Nobody Likes a Quitter.
Yeah, very good and funny books and well-crafted books as well. And Paul, you can Instagram him at pfunkla as well. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows coming up. Austin, Texas, Cap City Comedy Club, September 9th and 10th. We'll do some stand-up and some live pod there. And until next time, this is Dan Dunn for Paul Sanguinetti and Gina Grad and Paul Bryans.
You just said this is Dan Dunn.
Dan Dunn.
Oh, sorry.
I knew he wanted to be me.
I was reading Dan Dunn. Sorry, this is Adam Carolla for Dan Dunn that I was reading.
Thanks for
Paul
back
Sanguinetti.
In Vegas. I'm sorry. You teamed that one up.
And Paul Bryans, say it. Mahalo. Bounce your boobies.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's new book. Everything reminds me of something. Advice, answers, but no apologies. Leave us a voicemail at 888-614-1744. And get your tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.